listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/lafevercfc. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Thank you, Malachi. Trust you enjoyed communion. Good to be able to share that together. This is working. I think we're all good. Make sure the guys online can hear me. Trust you've had a good week. I had a reality check this week. I responded to an invitation to join what I thought was a dads and lads basketball team. And it ended up being a lads and an old man's basketball team. And I was the old man. And after having multiple people say to me, be careful, don't do a knee or don't do an ankle, don't follow in Paul Force's footsteps of when he returned to his basketball career after maybe a decade or two of having it on pause, his first game back did his knee. Monday night, I thought I'd done my Achilles. So excruciating pain Monday night, Tuesday, but I'm standing and moving, so I think I'm all okay. But I think my basketball career was, and my return to the basketball courts has been short-lived. That 5 minutes comeback was about all I got through, but we'll see what happens. Sandra and I are still debating or discussing whether the career has been cancelled or whether it will continue. So I had a very significant old man moment during the week, and Hayden found it absolutely humorous. He took great delight in laughing at my pain and agony. But thank you, Hayden, for that. So we're family. We all love each other, so we laugh at each other's pain. That's what family do, don't they? That's what my family does. I don't know what your family does, but my family laughs at each... Is that true, Alyssa? Yeah, very true. Someone hurts themselves, we laugh and make a joke about it. So that was my week, hobbling around. So I'm actually able to stand now, and it's just getting better each day a little bit, so I'm very pleased about that. So thank you for those who did pray, and God bless you for those who laughed at me. We're looking at the Psalms. I don't know if you've joined me in my house. We're all reading the Psalms, not together, but we're all going through the Psalms. So if you're not, I'd encourage you to jump on and join us in this journey. I've even got my mum reading the Psalms with us because I live in her house at the moment, which is changing on Tuesday, but she's been reading along as well and being able just to talk and reflect. So if you haven't started, it's not too late. I encourage you to do it. So through the month of March, we're just trying to read a psalm a day. And as I think about the Psalms, I've got they're there to teach us, to awaken, and to shape us. And I trust that that'll happen for you as you read the Psalms. That as Malachi talked about, making Jesus the center, I think as we read the Word of God and as we come into the Psalms, that they would teach us, awaken us, and also, what was the last word? Shape us. And it, not just us as a group, but also personally. I've got some PowerPoints. I've got a heap of slides, so you're going to see them up there. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly because I've got a lot of them, and then I might step away from them. I might not read out or look through each line of every slide, so I can send them to you later if you want them, or you can take a photo or just make a note if you want to. But the Psalms, as I've been just preparing and just reflecting and getting my heart ready for the Psalms, the Psalms are not there just to inform you. They're not there just to give us information. The Psalms are there to move you and to minister to you. The Psalms are not there just as doctrine. They are written in such a way, there are 150 Hebrew poems or songs that are there to stir and evoke emotion in you and get a response. That we can try and find ourselves in these Psalms. The feeling and the emotion that come out in each of the Psalms, that you would identify with that. They're a song, they're a heart, a psalm, there's a poem that is meant to captivate our hearts. And for those of you, probably none of you, but those of you who once listened to Eminem has a song, it says, lose yourself, but lose yourself in the music and lose yourself in the rhythm, lose yourself in what's going on with the beat and the rhythm. And as you get to that place in that music, he's sort of talking about just being lost in this the rhythm of the music. that we would not necessarily lose ourselves in these, but we would find ourselves and find the emotion and find the heartbeat and find the rhythm of these psalms and what they're really doing. Because music is meant to create emotion. It touches our emotion. So these psalms are meant to touch our emotions. They're not meant to just interact and engage with our heads. So now all those who are in there, probably in their 30s and 40s, are going to go home and listen to Eminem tonight. And if that's a good thing for you, God bless you. If it's not, I'm sorry. But finding yourself, as you go through the Psalms, we see that there's so many emotions. And we're going to capture some of them. We'll capture some this week. We'll catch more as we go through the week. But there's fear, there's anxiety, there's anger, there's grief, sorrow, guilt, despair, joy, loneliness, brokenheartedness, helplessness, betrayal, awe, love, rejection is there, discouragement, shame, delight, gladness, gratitude, zeal, pain, conflict. I don't know if there's any more emotions that you could possibly be looking for, but the emotions that we face in life, they are there in the Psalms. And as we read them, and as we meditate on them, as we draw into the Psalms, they are meant to touch those emotions in us, not just to inform our heart, but also minister to our heart and to our soul. For those who have been reading along in Psalm 4, verse 4 today, this week, it said, "Be angry and do not sin." Amen. Who does that well? Sometimes I get angry and I know that I say things that I shouldn't say. I get angry and we cross lines. But there in that psalm, it says, "Be angry, but do not sin." That same psalm talks about peace, and maybe you're looking for peace. It says, "In peace I lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." And obviously David is going through a time where he doesn't have peace, but he's saying, all this stuff's going on around me, all this calamity, all these problems around me, but I can still lie down in peace, because he talks about the confidence that he has in Christ in God. Maybe you're facing sorrow, and Psalm 6 says, "My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes." And David's just saying, well, this is what life is about. They talk about life. They talk about what's really going on. They reflect back to us humanity and what the things that we really do face in life. And that's what I love about the Psalms. So if you're not in the Psalms yet, I encourage you to get into them this week and draw out that emotion and let it speak to your soul. Because the Psalms, just as much as a mirror, we look in the mirror and it reflects our physical body to us. And some of us, when we look in the mirror, we think, oh my goodness. And we think, man, I'm not that old, am I? Or I'm not like that, or I'm not that shape. But when we look at the Psalms, they reflect back to us our emotions. We think, oh man, maybe there is some anger going on. Maybe there is some fear happening here. And they reflect back to us. And they speak to us about who we are and the emotions that we're facing. So as you read the Psalms, I trust that you'll engage with the emotion that's in them and you'll draw deep from them, and that they would minister to your emotions. The Psalms are also there to teach us. That the Psalms are, and I don't know if anyone watched that little video clip that I sent of the Bible Project on the book of Psalms, but it talks about 150 Hebrew poems that are broken up into five books that are a reflection of the Torah, sort of the structure of the first five books of the Bible, but they're there to instruct and to teach us about God, about humanity, and life. But more than just a list of rules, they really are God's divine instruction to us, the Lord's instruction to his people. That's amazing that God spoke to people and then he wanted to actually speak to us through them. The Psalms are also personal. So they are deeply personal. But we must also remember as we read them, they were actually meant to be read and prayed also, not just in the personal, but also in community, for a nation. So sometimes we look at them, as you read Psalm 1, you think that's so deeply personal. But then you read Psalm 2 and he's talking about leaders and nations and them having to come and submit themselves to God. So they're political. They're a voice to a nation. They're a voice to a community of people, not just a voice to the individual. So I pray as we go through them collectively, they will speak to us personally, but they'll also speak to us collectively. And even as you're reading them, you may say, man, I want to say that prayer and speak that psalm over our nation or another nation in the world and say, man, they're going through it. So we can speak them over nations or into the nations because the two are deeply connected. As we read the Psalms, I encourage you also to read it as a New Testament Christian, living in the new covenant, looking for the images of Christ and his work through the Psalms and the pictures of Jesus. And many of the Psalms talk about King David, and they're his reflections or the reflection of his kingdom and what he's doing. But in that, King David in the scriptures in most parts actually is a picture of Christ himself. So be looking for the images and the pictures of Jesus as you read through, because there's some really powerful imagery. When we take it out of, oh, this is just a man speaking, but he's actually maybe prophesying about Jesus, or the picture of what was happening to him as a picture of something that would happen to Christ himself. The Psalms, as we read them, we need to realize that Jesus actually himself quoted the Psalms. So Jesus believes that the Psalms are inspired by the Holy Spirit and come true. So we're not just reading poetry, we're not just reading a song, but we're reading words that have been divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit that come true. That gives a new level of weight to them, doesn't it? When we actually say, God, Jesus actually believed that. Let's have a look at a couple of times where Jesus quotes the scriptures in Mark, or that quotes the Psalm, sorry. In Mark 12, verse 36, it says, David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." And that's a quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. But Jesus is quoting the Psalms and saying, well, David, the Holy Spirit spoke to David to record that, and that's actually about me. So Jesus believed that the Psalms were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. So as you read them, that they've got life in them. They've been recorded on those pages, but they're recorded there by the breath and the will of God through the work of the Holy Spirit as he inspired men to write them. Another quote where Jesus, in John 13, verse 18, another spot where Jesus quotes, "I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture." These, if it was in your NIV red letter Bible, all of that is red. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "He who shared my bread has turned against me." And that's a quote from Psalm 41, verse 9. But Jesus is saying, that psalm back there, it had a meaning for David, but it also had a meaning about me. He felt it and he understood it here to mean one thing and maybe got a glimpse of something else, but actually the reality, the bigger truth in that is that that psalm was about me. So I encourage you, as you read the Psalms, look for the truths of Jesus. Look for the bigger picture. Look for the thing that a divinely inspired Holy Spirit word that is saying that's about Jesus Christ. But these words would also be something that go deep into our hearts and touch our minds and our souls. So as I've read the Psalms, I just got to Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. And I want to just share from those some reflections from this week. So all of that was way of introduction, just as you're reading, just to keep all of that in mind. And we'll just quickly look at Psalm 1 and just a few thoughts from there today. And next week I'll have some thoughts from Psalm 7 through to 13 for us, and spend a bit more time digging into the Psalms. But Psalm 1, verse 1 to 13. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do prospers. There's a promise here for those who are a tree. And if you read further down, basically this psalm makes the comparison from this flourishing tree that is an evergreen and has fruit in the right seasons, and chaffed, just the stuff that is blown by the wind. And we're actually, as we read the psalm, you're actually challenged to see, are you going to be the person who is the tree that has fruit in season, or are you the chaff? Just a handful of things that when the wind blows, you're gone. And you push this way or that way. Or are you going to be that tree? So keep that in mind as we go through this. Psalm 1, it then says, blessed is the one. That blessed is someone who's got happiness, who's got joy. It's a blessed person is a person who basically is in harmony and living a life that is in relationship with God. That they've got to a place where their relationship with God, they could say, yeah, I'm back to that Adam and Eve relationship. I'm in a place where there's good relationship between me and God. That is a blessed person. And when we say blessed, quite often in our Western culture, the first thing we think of is our bank balance or our finances or those sorts of things. But here it's really talking about a blessed person is a person who has a great, happy, open relationship with God. The very thing that sin came into the world to destroy. Because that happened, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in perfect relationship with God, and then sin came in by their choice. And the first thing they went and did was hid and were hiding, and there was this fracturing of relationship. But the blessed one is the person who's had that relationship restored. And I trust that you've had that relationship restored today. That you know that you're in a restored, good relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of this world. If you're not, beautiful opportunity to say, yeah, I want to be back in that happy, joyous relationship and be that blessed one. The blessed one, it says, is the person who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. And then it goes on, I'll just read verse 3 as well. It says, but delight in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on the Lord day and night. For me, that is about influence. Because the way that first part of that passage is set up, you can say, oh, this is all about rules. I've got to do all these things. And if I don't do that, then I'll be blessed. But the blessing doesn't come from not doing those things. We know that our life, it's good for us not to sit with mockers and do all those sorts of things, but the actual way to actually be blessed is not to not do those things. It's about delighting and walking with the Lord. So the question for me as I look at that, is it this way or this way? As I look at that psalm, I actually look at it and go, this is about influence. What's the predominant influence in your life? What are you cultivating in your life? What is the main influential factor in your life? And you see in that psalm, as they go from walk, then they're standing, and then they're sitting. It's a progression towards being more comfortable with that person. It's being a progression towards getting closer and closer to that person. So that there's an increase of influence from walking. Well, now I'm standing, spending more time than I'm sitting. So there's an increase of influence and progression. So it's really saying that that life that is not what God would have for you is the predominant influence over this person. As opposed to, what is the other influence? What is the other influence that we can cultivate in our life? Well, that is an influence of the Word. Allowing the scriptures, delighting in the Lord. That word delight means to be inclined towards, to be bent towards. So what are you being influenced by? What is the predominant influence in your life? And my prayer is that through the Psalms, as we read through them, that the predominant influence in your life will become the Word of God, if it's not already. But there'd be a growing sense of, Lord, I want your Word and you to be the influence on my life. That's what brings blessing in my life. That's what brings favor into my life. That's what makes me fruitful in my life, is that I'm allowing the Word of God to influence me. I'm actually allowing myself and my will and my thoughts to be bent towards and shaped by the Scriptures. Because the other alternative is to let other things influence us. And it's so easy. We get so busy watching Netflix and watching YouTube and following, reading stuff on Twitter and reading about the news, and there's all these other things that we get consumed with, and they can become, if we're not careful, the predominant influence in our life. In your life, my life, we all struggle with this. We all have to work this through. What are we cultivating? What are we growing? What are we actually allowing to influence us and direct us? The step from there is then to, well, Psalm verse 3 is very clear. It says, delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. Delighting in the Lord is cultivated by meditation. How do we delight? How do we allow the Word and the Scripture to be something that we delight in? It's by spending time to look, think, reflect on the divine guidance of God, believing that the Psalms and the Scriptures, they are your divine guidance, and I am going to look to those. I'm going to think about them. I'm going to reflect on them. We talk about the word meditation, and sometimes we can go, that's mystical, and it's out there, and it's Eastern religion, or it's something else. But it's also very Christian to spend time meditating, to reflect, to bring the Word into our lives and allow it to be the predominant influence in us. It says there the law of, in Psalm, verse 3, it says, the law of the Lord. And when I hear that, my first thoughts are about rules. But it's not talking about rules. Although the Ten Commandments might be part of that. You might go, the law of the Lord, and you think, the Ten Commandments. I know the Ten Commandments. I've memorized them. That's a part of it. But that word that is used there is also involves the law, yes, but direction and instruction. Basically, I would say God's divine guidance, and all of Scripture is God's divine guidance on us. So it's not just simply a list of rules that I follow that shows that I delight in the Lord and I want to hear Him. It's actually all of these Scriptures. Not these rules, but the Scriptures and the emotion and the feeling and letting them come deep into our hearts. Good question for you. What do you meditate on when you're trying to sleep at night? What are you meditating on? Or what are you thinking about at 4 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and you've got 100 things running through your mind? What is it that actually consumes your thoughts then? Is it fears? Is it anxiety? Is it worries? The psalmist encourages us in many spots to say, I want to let the thoughts of the Lord. I can have peace here. I can have your presence here. I don't have to be consumed and controlled by these other things that are in my life. These other things that would take us and try and direct us. Maybe some of you live with a very crowded bed. Struggle to sleep at night because you've pushed right to the edge because your bed is full of worries and problems and struggles and you toss and turn all night. I encourage you, if that is you, go to the Psalms. Find the Psalm that speaks to the situation that you're facing. Say, I'm going to allow this to come upon me. If you read Psalm 6, David really is quite distressed and there's pain and he says, how long, Lord, how long? I don't know if you read it today, but he's saying, how long? I preached about that 6 months into COVID to our guys in India and shared with them. You might be asking, how long? And they're still, now it's 18 months later and we're still asking, how long? But maybe you've got a long-term health issue. David, it seems to be in Psalm 6 that David's struggling with a health issue and he's asking, how long? How much longer do I have to put up with this? How much longer do I need to go through this pain? How much longer before you answer my prayer, Lord? But he doesn't say, well, I'm going to give up and go somewhere else. At the end of it, he says, I'm going to still put my confidence and my trust in the Lord because he's good for me. I'm going to still put my trust in the Lord. I'm going to still look to to the Lord. Encourage you to go to that place. Verse 3 of Psalm 1. The person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I want to be that type of tree. I want to be a tree that prospers. I want to live a life that prospers. The Christian life is lived. It's not just sat around. It's not just sort of not doing things. The Christian life is a journey where we live and we're lived. We live it out. And I want to be, and I want each one of us to be, I want this church to be, a tree that produces fruit. We are not made to be people who are laborers who pick fruit, that we work to get fruit. We produce fruit. But Paul talks about us being Christians that bear fruit, fruit of the Spirit, not Christians that work and do it by law. A tree and not the chaffs. That's my challenge to you. Not working to get the fruit, but actually being a person whose roots go deep down into Christ, who draw deep from the stream, that their roots are there, that they're meditating on the word that is drawing up and producing strength in them that causes them to flourish. That's the tree. That's what I want my Christian life to be. I don't want to be chaff that's influenced by just a breath of wind and it's off that way. Another breath of wind and it's off this way. But it says, no, I'm this tree. Why? Because my roots go deep down into the living water of Jesus Christ. But that happens. And those roots go deep as we meditate. Those roots go deep as we allow ourselves to reside in Jesus Christ and allow his word to go and consume us and get deep in our life. But that requires us to linger in the word, to love it, to let it change us, to wait there until we're satisfied by it, to stay there until we get our answer. Sometimes we move on too quick. Lord, I know the promise, that's it, I'm moving on. But to be a Jacob who wrestled with an angel until he got his blessing. And there are times where we need to wrestle. We need to take hold of the word and hold it and say, I'm not going and I'm not moving to this until I get satisfied, until my roots get down deep in you, Lord, and I get to that place. I've got a whole heap more, but I'm going to stop there. So as we wrap up, what's the predominant influence in your life? And I want to encourage each one of us that as you go through this month, and I encourage you to read the Psalms with me, even if you can just get to a couple a week, one day you can do a few, but I'd love it if you just did one a day and just reflected on it and allowed yourself, your root, to go deep down in it and see the emotion, see the pictures of Jesus in it and say, oh Jesus, what do you want to say to me about my life? Because I don't want to be the chaff. I want to be that tree that has fruit. I want to be blessed. And that blessed life is not about what you don't do in terms of sin and things. It's about being somebody who is delighting in the word and the divine guidance of Christ. And it's drawing us deeper and our roots are going deeper and deeper. And we live in challenging times. Some of us at this particular time are facing great health issues or struggles or difficulties. You go, man, this is how long? This is hard. But the Lord says, I'll lift up your head. I will keep you. I'll be your strength. I'll be your shield. Maybe that's what you need to hear. For others of you, maybe you need to hear, man, I'm walking in the wrong direction and I'm becoming like that chaff and I'm letting all sorts of things influence me. And you're saying, I don't want that anymore. I'm going to spend some time to make sure that I'm meditating, that I'm lingering in the word, that I'm drawing deep from the word, that his psalms are, that I'm connected to Jesus Christ. There's a promise out of that, that there's a righteousness that comes from Christ. As you read down, there's a promise that the righteous ones are blessed and there's a connection for the righteous ones and that we are only made righteous through Jesus Christ. And there's that righteousness that is ours. because we're now connected to Jesus, and that we can be that tree, not in our own strength, but we can be that tree that is fruitful and productive and bears fruit in season because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his life, his death, his resurrection on our behalf, if we put our faith and trust in him. That we can't be that tree outside of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we do end up as chaff. We do end up being blown and influenced and pushed here and pushed there. Let me pray, and we'll bring the service to a close in a minute.